If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we'll be looking at verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. Appreciate everyone coming to our Feeding the Flock night. I hope everyone will stay after. We have plenty of things to do and hope that you will be a part of that. Immediately after service, we're going to meet right up here for our VBS. And if someone's going downstairs and you see Kathy Sweeney down there, tell her to come back up. She's working with the kids down there, but she's going to be proposing her idea for this year's VBS. So right after service, we'll meet right up front. All right. Some other things that we have going on is we need to get our marquee changed. We also need to get our birthday cards out, our encouragement cards out, and visitor cards out. If you would like to help hang a whiteboard, we're replacing our chalkboards with whiteboards. It's going to take a little bit of time, but they're going to change one out tonight. If you want to help out with that, see Ron Cravens. Also, we'll have our food pantry. It's all set. Thank you, Jerry and Rhonda, for getting all the food, but thank you all for the donations that you gave. Again, we did not have to ask for extra supplement of our funds from the Benevolence Fund, but you just gave of your means, gave from your heart, and we really do appreciate it. So we'll probably pack around 40 to 45 bags tonight. Also, one thing that needs to be done upstairs, we need to vacuum up there. Some of the guys working with PowerPoint sometimes come in with some pretty dirty boots, so... And it's really hard for Ray and Doris to get up those steps with that vacuum, so let's just do that for them here tonight. So there's a lot of things to do. We could also straighten out some of the songbooks as well around our auditorium. A lot of things to do. If you see something that needs to be done, just go ahead and do it. And make sure that you are involved in serving tonight. Crowds can be overwhelming. Maybe you've been to a concert, maybe a sporting game, maybe Black Friday shopping, and you have just been overwhelmed by the crowds. When we have so many people around us, a lot of times it gives us anxiety. It gives us an overwhelming feeling. And for those of us who might be a little claustrophobic, it kind of makes us feel very uncomfortable. But there are many times that I've been overwhelmed by crowds, not because people were getting in my personal comfort bubble, because as I thought about the vast amount of people around me, I thought, each person here has a story. Each person has a soul. Each person has a soul that is in need of a Savior. And for most of them, they are blindly walking and wandering to destruction. Sometimes when I'm in these huge crowds, I just want to shout from the rooftops and say, Jesus is Lord. You need to live for Him. I'm not sure how effective that would be, but it truly is a great burden on our heart when we realize the need that is all around us, the need of the crowds in our world. Even in our small town of Poplar Bluff, there's such a small percentage of people who are a part of the Lord's church in a county of 40,000 people. And because of this number of souls, because of the need that we have in our community, sometimes that can be overwhelming to us. Sometimes when we have this feeling of overwhelming, that overwhelming feeling of being overwhelmed, sometimes it can lead us to paralysis. Many of us probably have had this big homework assignment at school at one point, or maybe a big project at work, and you just didn't really know how to start. And so what did we do? Well, we procrastinated, right? We put it on the back burner. We said, oh, we'll find something else to do, and we'll attack it later. I've seen people on Facebook from time to time say, you know, I started off the day, and I had this big project for school. And after a long day of work, I can successfully say that I cleaned my entire house and have not started that project. So many times we find other things to do that maybe are easier, things that maybe make us feel comfortable. And I wonder if we're like that sometimes when it comes to reaching the lost. The need is so great, we don't know where to start. And often it leads us to being paralyzed in our action. Or maybe it involves us really just focusing on ourselves as a church, where we focus on our building, our focus on fellowship with one another, and focus on looking in. Now, none of those are bad things and things that we need to do. However, sometimes we do those to the exclusion of reaching the enormous amount of people who are lost around us. And as a corrective to that course of action is Jesus here in Matthew chapter 9. He gives us an example of what we should do when we face the enormity of the crowds around us who are lost and have no hope. Here we find in chapter 9, verse 35, that Jesus was already working. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." He was already trying to do the Father's business. He was healing the sick, he was caring for people who were in need, and he was preaching the kingdom of God. Yet as he was doing that, he stepped back for a moment and just surveyed the crowd. And this is what it says there in verse 36. "And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Here Jesus looked back at all these crowds and thought, they have so much need. They need a leader for their souls. But instead of having a leader for their souls, what they have is people who are harassing them. They were harassed by religious leaders, maybe even harassed by the Roman government, harassed by the diseases that they had and the troubles they had in life. And based upon that, we see that Jesus has compassion on them. And because of his compassion, he was moved within. It really affected his heart. And in response to this compassion with his heart, verse 37 says, "And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" Then verse 38, "Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." That was his response to seeing how many people were truly lost, was to tell this teaching to his disciples. I think there's a few things we can take away from what Jesus said and what Jesus did after he saw the enormity of the crowds. First of all, we see that Jesus made the observation that the harvest was ready. It was ready to be reaped. Sometimes I think we all forget from time to time the opportunity that we have around us. Sometimes we think no one will ever believe our message, and we can get very negative about the prospect of sharing our faith with other people. But here Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Now we might ask the question, was this just this day and time in the first century that the harvest is plentiful? Is it plentiful in our day and time? I believe it is plentiful in our day and time. Because in our time, there are still people who are wandering helplessly. People that we share our workspaces with. People that we share a neighborhood with. People that we share friendships with and share maybe a connection with in our family. And they are just like the crowds that Jesus saw. They're helpless wanderers through life. And they've been harassed by the world. We live among people who need a shepherd, and they might not realize they need a shepherd quite yet, but deep down within, I believe they long for the shepherd, the good shepherd, to lead their lives. And so we need to look more optimistically at the opportunity around us. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. I truly believe the harvest is plentiful here in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Second, what Jesus says here is he observed that the harvest outnumbered the workers. See, even in Jesus' day and time, the need was greater than the help that he had. For us, this is true of us in our time. It would be nice one day to have maybe 1,000 workers in our community trying to reach the 40,000 in our county. But even with that, it's just 1 to 40, right? That's a pretty large amount of people. But really, to be honest, I think if all of us in this 140, 150 member congregation, if we all came together and truly put in the work and truly were workers in God's vineyard, I truly believe that we would be bringing in a fruitful harvest. If all of us got involved in reaching out to souls, I believe that we can make a huge difference in our community and in our county. Now, Jesus' way of dealing with this disparity in numbers for the amount of people that need to be served versus the amount of helpers that he had was to pray for workers. Do we pray for workers? Do we pray for laborers in the vineyard here in Poplar Bluff? Maybe some of you leaders here receive emails from Fred Rhodes. Fred Rhodes there in Newton, Iowa, that's how he ends almost every single one of his emails. It's a prayer for laborers in the vineyard. And I think we need to have that on our prayer life as well, that it should be in the content of our prayers that we pray for more workers. First of all, praying that we might be the workers that we need to be for God's purposes in this world, but also to pray for our congregation, for all of us to step up to the plate and do our responsibility. Also to pray for more converts, that we can convert people and then have more workers then to convert more people in our community. Also pray for us as we try to raise our kids to be evangelists, people who look for those who are lost. We need to pray, pray, and pray for more laborers in God's kingdom. But here Jesus says not just to pray, but what we see in his actions is he also did. That he didn't just pray, but he also got to work. In chapter 10 and following, what we see is that Jesus sends out his disciples into the harvest. He equips his workers and then sends them out to do the work of the Lord. And we need to do that too, here as well. We need leaders who are willing to equip our members and send them out, to equip them with the knowledge, the training, and the encouragement that they need to do their job. But also for the members, we all need to be willing to be trained, willing to be bold, willing to work in God's kingdom. Reaching out to our community is a huge task, and sometimes it might just seem impossible to reach our community. But we need to remember that all things are possible with God, and that God can do tremendous things among us if we just trust in Him and get to work. Do you know the best way to eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? The best way to get through a big project, maybe at school or work, one task at a time. Well, the best way to reach the overwhelming number of people in our community is one soul at a time. And I hope that this week that we can see the people around us, the crowds among us, and truly have compassion for them. To look at them with compassion, to look at the need with a prayerful heart, praying for God to raise up workers, but also to face this overwhelming number of people who are lost with a lot of hard work, a willingness, a boldness to be about our Father's business. So I hope all of us can dedicate ourselves this week and in weeks to come to truly be focused on the outside, focus on those who need a shepherd in their lives. And I hope that we can work among them and be a good influence on them and teach them so that they may all know our good shepherd, the shepherd who has led our soul to salvation. Maybe there's someone here tonight that doesn't have a shepherd. You want to find out more about our shepherd. We'd love to sit down with you and study the Bible. Or maybe you know the shepherd and you know you need to submit your life to him and you want to come and commit your life to him by being baptized tonight. Or maybe there's someone here that's wandered off and maybe lost your focus on souls all around you as we see with Jesus. And I hope that we all, as we think about this message, truly have the heart and the mind and the eyes of Jesus as we reach our community. Or maybe you just need some special prayers tonight. Whatever you need, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.